In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
And wenches, we are back. This is episode 224 of No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot. I am your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. And all aboard the SS Shitstorm, you're hearing our brand new theme song by The Stampede, which can be found on their new album, A Marvel of Idiocy. I actually heard an early version of this song roughly 4 years ago at one of their gigs, and I told them right then and there that I wanted it to open every one of my No Borders, No Race episodes. I just didn't think it would take years to finally have a studio version of it, but it has arrived, and I am so glad to be able to open every single show with a banger like this. On today's episode, I'll be sharing my thoughts on Anime Expo 2019, as well as dive into a bit of the controversy regarding both Studio Trigger's Promare and the new David Production anime series, Fire Force. Plus, Dave Crespo is going to pop by to chat about the Boston Local Music Festival happening this September. That's all coming up, but first, let's dive into this week's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, Apple Music, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. And we're going to kick things off with a brand new track from Ling Dos de Sigure. This is their latest single entitled Neighbor Mind.
Yeah.
Gazette with Paralysis from 2015's Dogma. The Gazette recently finished a world tour in support of their newest album, Ninth, which had them playing in the US, Russia, Germany, the UK, and many parts of South America. And that's some pretty impressive globe hopping to do in a short amount of time. Over 350,000 people, that's right, 350,000 people converged on the Los Angeles Convention Center early this month for Anime Expo. 4 days of anime, manga, and all forms of pop culture from Japan. Myself and 42 Believer Sarah experienced this convention for the very first time this year, and it was very interesting to say the least. Now, it should be known that compared to Anime Boston, Expo is a beast. It's dealer's room, and I even throw in their artist alley, could very well fit just about everything that AB usually offers. So it should be noted that my first time at AX was a little overwhelming, to say the least. Nevertheless, I had a lot of fun watching the premieres of Promare, two new Lupin the Third films, and the very first episode of Dr. Stone was awesome, as sharing the viewing experience with a plethora of fans in the same room is light years more enthralling than merely just watching or streaming it by yourself or just with a couple of friends. Watching the Oran High School Host Club creator Bisco Hattori talk about her creative process and the backgrounds of her characters was a truly once-in-a-lifetime experience, and being able to watch the original character designer and the scriptwriter of Konosuba laughing it up was a delightful treat, and being able to watch the U.S. premieres of the Konosuba OVAs in the main theater was a great bonus. Outside of the LACC, Crunchyroll took over the private room of the Novo for a fun little photo op area, and it was a little similar to what they did at their Anime Boston booth, but I loved being able to take my picture with the slime tower from that time I got reincarnated as a slime and participating in a Shield Hero balloon popping game. And although I really, really hate Black Clover, holding a replica of Asta's sword was a cool experience. The only downside was that they were supposed to show off the new Mob Psycho 100 mobile game, but it was having some problems loading. But other than that, it was a really neat little setup they had. Now, I mentioned the dealer's room and artist alley earlier, and the dealer's room had just about everything you could find and want for anime and manga stuff. I swear to God, you can just walk in there and you feel like all of your money is gone. That's how much crap that they have in there. I also dug the special areas for 18 plus stuff, which I think my friends at Manga Gamer can attest helped save them a lot of money that usually would be used for post-it notes. However, I did find a bit of an issue with Artist Alley as it got crowded in there far too fast. There were plenty of unused space in that area, and I hope Anime Expo uses that knowledge next time around to space out the booths far better next time around. I'm wicked serious when I say this. It took me half an hour to just walk from one side to the other. It was that bad. But other than that kerfuffle, Anime Expo 2019 was a great experience. Yes, there were line issues on day one, which were fortunately fixed by day two, but it was great to fully experience the biggest anime convention in all of North America. Almost all of my coverage for AX is already up, but hopefully soon you'll be able to check out my reports on the Bisco Hattori panel and the press interview that I did with Love Live! Sunshine Idol Group Aqua. Not a lot of interview opportunities this year, unfortunately, but hopefully that'll change next time around. Sarah and I are already making plans to go next year, and I really hope I can drag someone from Wicked Anime when we do. A big shout out to Brooks, Super Eye Patch Wolf, Gigak, Ivanman64, the RPG Monger, Lord Onimaru, Triple Q, What the What, and our buddy Dakota Broski for making my first Anime Expo experience a memorable one. It was great being able to party with them, and I hope our paths certainly cross again next year. And when they do, you can bet that I'll be bringing Channel A around for some more drunken stoned shenanigans. Right then, on to the playlist. Up next, we've got something from Dragon Welding's new self-titled album, and interestingly enough, the name Dragon Welding is an anagram for the frontman Andrew Golden, who also fronts the band The Wolfhounds. This song is called Join the Dots.
Listen to another retro gaming podcast.
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
From 2007's Bambi's Dilemma, that was Melt Banana with Cracked Plaster Cast. Melt Banana will be touring Taiwan and the UK later this year, but as of yet, no news of a new album as of this recording. Hoping it happens very, very soon, though. Now here's a cut from Noisecell's most recent EP, Focus, which features a song that's familiar to those who watched last year's Kaiji spinoff, Mr. Tonegawa's Metal Management Blues. But we're not playing that one today. Instead, we're going for a song called Yusei no Machi.
ちょっと笑って光を見ないように
proud boys of Detroit. That was a Raconteurs with Don't Bother Me off of this year's Help a Stranger album. Very happy with the way this record turned out, especially after the way Jack White, let's just say, botched up last year's solo release, Boarding House Reach. Not a fan of that record one bit, and this is coming from someone who adores what Jack does. But Help a Stranger is a great return to what he does best, and that's rock out loud! Now, before its premiere at Anime Expo, there was a little bit of controversy regarding X Flag and Studio Trigger's film Promare and this summer's new anime series Fire Force, which is from Soul Eater creator Atsushi Okubo. In a recent interview with Weekly Shonen Magazine, Okubo had alluded to his idea being stolen by somebody else, saying that he's going to be tight-lipped from here on out when it comes to his creations. While no names were given, readers were quick to point the finger at Promare as the source of Okubo's frustrations. Now, I watched Promare at AX, wrote my review for it, and then, while relaxing at my Airbnb, watched the first episode of Fire Force on Crunchyroll. And I do have to say that there is a huge similarity between the two properties. Both Promare and Fire Force deal with a world where people spontaneously combust, and an organization is made to put a stop to the creatures they become before they create more damage. Promare has them become mutants, whereas Fire Force turn into demon-like beings known as Infernals. And just from this aspect, it's very easy to see why Okubo's kind of pissed off. With that being said, despite the large similarity between Fire Force and Promare, that's where it ends. Promare has the team using water and ice to defeat the mutants, whereas Fire Force literally goes with the fight fire with Fire Root. There's also a difference in tone with the two properties, with Promare being more aligned with something like Gurren Lagann and even 80s animated films like Heavy Metal and Rockin' Rule, and Fire Force is more in vain with traditional shonen. So while there's a plot device that both share, they easily branch out and make something different out of them. I really enjoyed Promare, as you can attest to the review that I wrote. I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. And thus far, I am liking Fire Force. They have their flaws, yes, but nevertheless, both the film and this series are fun to watch. You can catch Promare in theaters this September via G-Kids, and you can stream Fire Force on Crunchyroll and Funimation at this very moment. But wait until this podcast is over before you go and watch Fire Force, at least. And we'll keep things rolling so you can get there faster by returning to some music. We got something new from M-Flow, who pumps the bass loudly at this year's OtaQuest Live. From their latest EP, Mortal Portal, this is Starstruck.
You know, there is just one only you, but you and me, there is no two. I just wanna let you know, I just wanna let you know, there is just one only me, but you de hitori. The clock stops ticking time, hush starts to ring the chime. You're here to save me. Kokoro comes alive, your eyes. Cause your love heals me. I'm so starstruck, I'm so starstruck, I'm so starstruck of you, babe. I'm so starstruck, I'm so starstruck, 抱きしめていて. I'm so starstruck, I'm so starstruck, I'm so starstruck of you, babe. I'm so starstruck, I'm so starstruck, 連れて永遠へ.
a glitch in the matrix. Dystopia ni iru no ni bara iro no seishin. Kano yo na sensation. Baka no hitotsu oboe ka no yo ni agameru. Kimi o nagameru. Kimi to iru to atama no naka de kanaderu. Ongaku puts me in a spell. You type ridatsu demo shite chute. Dancing no teishi. Honnou dake de move. Keishi sare gachi dakedo kono hoshi no hito tachi wa wakatte nai. Ore ijigen. Mirai o mite kita yuitsu no human. Mirai no chunen. 22 seki shounen. Shitteru kata wa gohonen kudasai. Tsumaranai. Setsumei wa iranai. Yo wa nou miso ginga. Oni ni kanabou. Baka ni machine gun. Bang 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 ba bang. Welcome to the terror dome. Nou miso ginga. Bang 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 ba bang. Oni ni kanabou. Baka ni machine gun. Bang 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 ba bang. Welcome to the terror dome. Nou miso ginga. Bang bang ba 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 bang.
I'm so starstruck. I'm so starstruck. I'm so starstruck with you, babe. I'm so starstruck. I'm so starstruck. I can show you every day. I'm so starstruck. I'm so starstruck. I'm so starstruck with you, babe. I'm so starstruck. I'm so starstruck.
Hey everybody, this is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
La la la.
Maximum the Hormone with Ray from their Rokinpo Goroshi album. And I'm pretty sure I neglected a couple Rays and Ma's when I said that title. The Japanese metal band keeps releasing new videos, but as of yet, no news of an album. Come on, guys, it's been over 6 years. Get on with it. But right now, it's time to get a little bit more loud with some Battle Beast, an amazing band I would have never discovered if it wasn't for AFLM of Wicked Anime. Their new album, No More Hollywood Endings, is one of this year's best. The net record is the epic saga known as The Hero. compilation album Alteration. That was Headphones President with Too Scared. And on July 24th, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to this episode exactly when it drops, Anza and Company will be releasing their sixth album entitled Respawn. So be sure to see if that gets an official U.S. release. And considering a lot of Headphones President's records have, I'm guessing this one will too. Joining me right now is the organizer for the upcoming Boston Local Music Festival, which is happening on September 28th and 29th at Boston City Hall Plaza. Please welcome Mr. Dave Crespo. How are you doing today?
Excellent. So good to be on the show, Evan. Thanks for having me call in all the way from Utah.
You are welcome. So like you just said, you're in Utah, you're in Salt Lake City. So my first question is, how is the music scene over there and how does it compare to Boston's?
I mean, nothing can compare to Boston. Like, it's Boston. But Salt Lake City is a very new city. I think it's very funny as a Bostonian to see a city that's like this, that has all the roads organized, has people that aren't. I mean, there's like a local culture here, or like a very Mormon local culture, and people that have like left the church, you know, similar to like the culture that we have in Boston.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know, there's just so much transience here. You see that in Boston, but not, I don't know, people will stay there, like, longer. Or just, like, go to school and then live there. It's funny. I've never seen this kind of transience. And you see that in the music scene here. So it's very new. It's open, you know, like I've, since coming out here with my musical projects, I've opened up for bigger acts than I would have been able to in Boston just because it's so competitive. But with that being said, the support in Boston is just undeniable. You know, more people go to shows. That's just the
fact. Yeah, it's the thing to do. Like, I'm not the type of guy who likes to go to a club to like dance or anything like that. I like to go to a club and see a show, and I feel like that's the mentality of Boston.
Yeah, man, it's a place to connect with your friends. It's a I don't know, it's like high class Netflix, really.
It is, and for the most part, you can see a great show that's much cheaper than a movie ticket.
Oh yeah, 100%. Although I would like to argue that a 4-hour show should be much more than, well, at least double $10. It should be a $20 ticket.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying that you can get a good show, like you could go to the Middle East or Sonya or Sinclair for like $15, and you'd get a much more enthralling experience than sitting in a dark movie theater.
Yeah, it's real. And I think the movie industry is seeing that. Although the Boston music scene continues to thrive, you know, under like, it almost has no reason to, you know, it's really just the people that go out to shows and the bands that get their friends to come, and it's just utter will. It's literally a culture of people that, and that's why I want to do this festival, because I want to show the city of Boston, New England, the whole country, that music is a community. And it is as important as these sports teams that, you know, define Boston.
Right.
Probably more important than the New England Revolution. I think more people go to see, more people, I don't think, I know more people go to see local music shows than go see the Revolution. But
no, I agree with you on that one.
I mean, if you just do the math, like,
and it's interesting because like with the thriving as much, it's amazing that they're able to do so despite the fact that, you know, you listen to radio here in Boston, there isn't a distinctive local like radio show that promotes local bands. Everything here is almost practically top 40. So it's amazing that all it is just word of mouth from people and everyone going to these shows without the aid of mainstream media or local media, all these sorts of things.
Yeah, and I really hope that this can kind of bridge that, because if there was just a little acknowledgement, just like I'm saying with the Revolution, you know, the Revolution make it into, even if it's page 5 of the sports in the Boston Globe, even if local music made it into page 5 of the arts and entertainment, that would be amazing. It's just not happening right now. There's like a chasm, a disconnect between this like utter community and scene of local music that is definitely in Boston. And then and people that are just casually there wearing their pink Red Sox hats. And I don't want to like ostracize those kinds of people. I you know, it is hard. Anything goes through that pink hat, you know, stage. What I mean is like kind of the commercialization of a product. And in this case, I'm talking about local music. But, you know, I don't want to ruin it by any means, but there's just so many people out there that could be also supporting local music that, you know, may be able to connect with it in an organic way for them.
Right. So, like, for example, like, I have a podcast show. I promote a lot of music, mostly from Japan, of course, but I also do my best to... I try my best to support local and alternative acts as well. So my question for you is, what could I do to help build a much more firm music scene for everyone to enjoy, specifically the Boston music scene itself?
Well, go to shows. Always ask another friend to ask a friend to go to that show with you, because that's really how great shows happen, is when a band gets a friend to come, and then they get a friend to get a friend to come. Those are the best shows. And, you know, just always be spreading. I think more people could maybe stop spreading Bernie Sanders things on Facebook and spread local music on Facebook. You know, there's just so much angst and negativity, and maybe it doesn't even seem like negativity.
Just excuses to get mad.
Yeah, and I love to read it. I'm looking at a Bernie Sanders thing on Facebook right now, and you know, all the politicians, all the shit that's going on. But this is the thing. This matter is like local music. The community is a public interest matter. This has to do with us because it costs a lot of money to make music. It's not cheap at all.
Right.
And us supporting this happening keeps our society cool. Otherwise, we just end up being these like drones and, you know, listening to Taylor Swift and listening to the Lumineers play. You know, like the Lumineers are writing, you know, the Boston Lumineers are writing songs in a practice space in the Sound Museum.
Yeah, I believe the band is called As the Sparrow. They're a local band that I know that sounds very similar to Lumineers, but I think they're actually just a little bit better than the Lumineers.
I mean, but they can be better because they can do what they want to do. The Lumineers, you know, they have to be for more people.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, you asked what could you do? I think just spreading the word to your network. You know, you do that with your podcast. But more personally, I think everybody could more personally just say, you know, hey, this is my friend's music. Because it's so hard as a musician to, like, talk about your own music. It's actually, it's, like, not even, I don't know. It is self-indulgent. So the more people that can talk about your music for you and a culture of that, we'll get people to come out to shows more. It creates excitement.
And I am hoping that this is a great first step, the Boston Local Music Festival. So how did this idea first come to fruition?
Well, so I grew up in Melrose with the members of the Stampede, which I think you're good friends with.
Yeah, and in fact, they actually do the theme song now for my podcast.
All right. Well, so your listeners definitely know the Stampede. Those guys and I grew up in this little scene, punk rock scene in Melrose, Massachusetts, that had like VFW shows, church shows. You know, just like these events don't happen for the kids right now, and it's unfortunate because it's expensive to rent these halls out.
Yeah,
it was before for us too, but our parents would do that for us. You know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a town that's not like Newton, but still, like, my parents were able to, you know, help me with playing music. And, you know, just this like idea of getting together with you know, kids as teenagers, and then that bridged into like things like River Rave that WPCN did back in the day, and WFNX when they had like the Sheila Divine and Green Day and all these bands on the Hat Shell.
Yes,
these were free shows. And you know, people are always like, Boston's a haters town. People love to hate on things. And I always thought when I was there, and even now, that my job was to like try to, even with a little angst, shed some light, bring some positivity. So I wanted to make a festival happen just like that. Maybe not just like that, but similar. A free festival promoting Boston local music. Something on City Hall Plaza or the Hat Shell. You know, a place of prominence that people would be like, huh, this is happening. Interesting. Because in my heart, I believe that Boston is the local music capital of the world. Austin, Texas is the live music capital of the world. That's undeniable. Have you ever been there? That's real.
I've been trying to get down there for South by Southwest. That's like one of my biggest goals in life, to check that out.
South by is crazy. I go every year and pay my homage. but I think that there's homage to be paid in Boston. I met a kid last night here in Ogden, which was, it's kind of like the Worcester of Salt Lake City. It's about an hour away. And he went to Berkeley for 1 year. You know, like people go to Boston to make music.
Or learn how to make music too.
Yeah, and a lot of people leave because the opportunities are not there. And, you know, if the local music scene was a little more supportive from the top end of it, when I say the top end, I mean these people who, you know, they just don't know what to do. They're not from there. They just need to be like brought in. You know, I spent so much time bringing, honestly, like foreigners into the local music scene. My drummer was from Thailand. I had a German drummer. You know, these people need to be brought into a community like forcibly.
Right.
You have to like create relationships with these people, and you know, I want this festival to be a start of that process for a lot of people that are, you know, coming to Boston for school, for new jobs that are opening up. I have friends that are in the tech industry. You know, they don't know what to do. They honestly have no idea that the Middle East has a show. And on top of that, like, it's daunting to go to these shows. It's loud. You don't know people. The people who are diehard fans, they might, I don't know, they're just different. You know, they're punk rockers sometimes. So it can be hard to integrate these two societies, but
yeah. And it also doesn't help that the public transportation shuts down right before the main act goes on.
I mean, you know, the scene has shifted throughout the country around that. Like, you know, even if at the House of Blues, like the headliner goes on at 9 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not like the days of a headliner playing at midnight are over. You know, people have to work too much. It doesn't make sense right now.
I feel like that era ended when TT the Bears shut down a few years back, because they were like the last club to do like 12:30 a.m. headliners.
Yeah, I think that era ended probably at that time. You're right, but because of things like Netflix, you know, you could just be at home watching Netflix at that time. You know, there's just other things to do. There's so many things in society right now that are getting broken up by technology, and that's fine. I love technology. I think, you know, the further it goes, the better.
Right, but sometimes we always need a break from the technology to experience the real world around us, and what better way to do that than to go to a live show?
I mean, yeah, it's just like, it's a different way to connect with people. You can digitally connect with people while you're physically at a show. You know, it's just, rock shows are a phenomenon of humanity. It's a tribal thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, people want to be a part of something. And I think that this festival will be just that. It will be something. And if you want to be a part of it, you should come down.
So I know we talked about the Stampede. Who else is going to be in the lineup? And what kind of mixture of music can we expect from the Boston Local Music Festival?
So at this moment, I can't say not anybody, but I don't have the ability to say the whole lineup. The Salem Wolves will also be playing. But what I do want to say is that this festival is not going to be like Boston Calling. It's not going to be like, your cookie cutter music festival. It is going to be a happening. lots of bands are going to play, and there's going to be a lot of music happening, and it's going to show you just how much music actually happens in the city. Lots of times people will be like, you know, they just don't feel like a lot is going on, and you're going to know on the 28th and 29th of September that there's so much. It's a vibrant music scene, and I think the most vibrant. So I can't tell you exactly who's even playing, but we got a onslaught of submissions with the announcement of it this past Monday, and our goal is to get as many of those people on this roster as possible. So it's going to be a long roster of bands.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I know you can't really reveal, but will there be any big surprises regarding the lineup?
It's possible. There's developments. We're definitely looking. Like, the Winter Hill Brewing Company has done a huge service to the music scene by underwriting this so far. There's a few other grants that have come from the state to make this happen. Not big ones, but the really Winter Hill Brewing Company is helping to make this happen. We're trying to get the word out about this public interest of the local music scene. So the more sponsors we get, we do have some things that we could do. I started talking to big acts from the start. So something could happen. I'll just leave you in the lurch.
All right. Yeah, that sounds really cool. So besides the music, is there going to be anything else that's happening around City Hall Plaza while the festival is happening?
So, like I said, Winter Hill Brewing Company is, they are the presenting sponsor of the Boston Local Music Fest. And there'll be a beer garden going on there. They have a beer that's coming out called Banned Beer, B-A-N-N-E. And on this beer, there's going to be a compilation record of many. I don't know if it will be all, but many of the artists that are going to be on the festival. You'll be able to get the beer and get the link to download the compilation disc. This is something I've seen a few different breweries do, and it was like when Winter Hill Brewing Company was into this idea and knew that they were the partners for the Boston Local Music Festival, just because it's like, I don't know, it's so hard to put music into people's hands. You know, CDs are outdated, thumb drives are weird, 8-tracks are 8-tracks.
Which is weird because I know some bands who actually record on 8-track, which is really interesting that they still are trying to push that market. I even thought it weird that cassettes came back in some fashion too.
Well, yeah, I have some cassettes for my band out here in Salt Lake City, and it's really just kind of a business card. You give it to some. But here's the thing, like, everybody drinks beer that drinks beer. You know, not everyone drinks beer, especially here, Utah with the Mormons. But, a lot of people do drink beer. Why not put the record right there? You know, they're going to buy the can of banned beer, support the music scene at the exact same time. I don't know. I'm really pumped that that's going to be happening. It's just a fun collaboration, and I'm glad that those guys have partnered with us to do that. But also at the festival, there'll be a food truck like section.
Nice.
Lots of food trucks, artist vendors, and just a lot of stages, man. I would prepare for music to be everywhere.
Awesome.
You mentioned South by Southwest. And when you go down there and you go into 6th Street, it's absolutely a bombardment of musical notes. I don't know if we can bring that. I don't know if that's like the in our best interest exactly, because we don't want the music overriding itself too much. But I expect to see full bands set up in multiple locations, buskers playing in multiple locations. If you don't get exposed to a new artist that you love that day, you didn't stay long enough. You know, or you got too drunk at the Winter Hill brewing company's beer garden and you forgot.
So I guess my final question for you, and I think you kind of answered it already, it is why should everyone, not just in Boston, but all of New England, check out the Boston Local Music Festival?
They should come to the Boston Local Music Festival because they already come out to local music shows all the time. I've seen people from Vermont drive down to Boston to support their Vermont friends that are playing here. The community in Boston, the local music community, is as thorough as the sports community. And it's not recognized, and it's already in these people. They already grew up, you know, going to shows, you know, having friends in bands, you know, so this is just a day to honor that community that we have in Boston. That really, it's not everywhere. It's not even in Austin, Texas. Boston is, it just has so much tradition, and that tradition is not across this country. There's very new cities westward, and Boston is not that. It is a very old city, and the music scene is a product of that. So the reason to come is to have some pride in your city's music scene, because it is the best local music scene in the country. So come down and support.
And the dates are September 28th and 29th at Boston City Hall Plaza, the Boston Local Music Festival. David, thank you so much for joining me here on No Borders No Race. Where can more people find information on this awesome sounding festival?
They can go to bostonlocalmusicfestival.com or bostonlocalmusicfest.com. Either will redirect you. There's a Facebook page too that you can look up. You can find me at Dave Crespo Rules on Twitter, at Spo Rules Dude on Instagram, and / Dave Crespo Rules on Facebook. I'll be talking about it on my personal pages. And I don't know, Tiny Oak Booking, that's Heather Timmons. She's working on this heavily as well. She'll have some information about it. Jen and Peter from the Boston Arts Fest, I also have to mention them. They're huge in getting all the permits. They do the Boston Arts Fest, and they've just opened the door for this to happen. So it's a good team to work with. But that's where to check some things out.
David, thank you so much. Best of luck with the Boston Local Music Festival. I will totally be there that weekend. Check out all the acts that you're going to be showcasing. And I hope my listeners, and I hope the entire city of Boston checks it out as well.
Cool, man. Thanks, Evan, for having me.
You're welcome. Coming up, we've got J-pop starlet Lisa with a song that serves as the opening theme to Demon Slayer, which you can catch on Crunchyroll. This is Gurenge.
Life. this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ITHINKTHISISGREAT.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I Think This Is Great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. With those backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Why she could
start with Transmissions off of this year's self-titled debut album. This one really took me by surprise. Found myself listening to it like 5 times while I was setting up their Shameless Tuesdays contribution a while back. It was that good. If you find yourselves in the Big Apple on September 13th, you can catch them at Pianos with Phil and the Ossifers, Dentist, and Scoville Unit. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch, and on the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Dragon Welding and Herd Heart, made possible by Seamus Promotion PR. And a very special thank you to Rude Audio for last week's contribution to Shameless Tuesdays. A very, very special shout out to Dave Crespo for stopping by. Remember, the Boston Local Music Festival will be happening on September 28th and 29th at Boston's City Hall Plaza. Please keep an eye on their Facebook event page for more information to drop. It's going to be a free event, so you have no excuse to not check it out. And please, if you can, donate to Sentai Filmworks' GoFundMe to raise funds for those affected by the Kyoto Animation arson attack. As of this recording, it has raised $1.5 million. The love the anime community has showered those hurt in this tragedy has been phenomenal, and I hope Kyo Annie knows how much they mean to all of us. Keep on helping them out in any way you can, via donating or by sharing the link. On the next episode of Wicked Anime, we dive into the summer 2019 season. What rocked? What sucked? What surprised us? Plus, Elite Four Derek returns to talk about Overlord, and AFLM reads a manga involving a bug rape island? You have to tune in to find out what that's about this Thursday on the Nerdy Show site and wherever podcasts get their podcasts on. We're ending today's episode with a cut from Bump of Chicken's new album, Aurora Arc. Always thrilling whenever they drop something new. The new record is excellent. This Celtic-themed melody goes by the name Suki Niji. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. よんでも手前が星空の陰区の中落として見失ってん探し物心は眠れないまま太陽の先ほどの中月影の願いを抱き込んだキャンディーにして何もいらないだってもう何にも持てないあまりにこのクラップが大きすぎるから欲しいその一瞬の怒りの為それ以外の時間も全部が燃えて生きるよ。本当正しさなんか僕だけのものどんなやる気かただって大に行くよ。目の奥で再現なく育ち続ける理由一つだけ。 忘れられない忘れ物謎なぞわからないまま行かなくちゃ夜の中今出来た足跡に指切りして同じような生き物ばかりなのにどうしてなんだろうわざわざ生まれたのは世界が溶け
てあげたら落ちた涙も帰る家を見つけたら宇宙ごと抱きしめて眠れるんだ覚えてるでしょここに
Hey guys, this is your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.